Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back to the Swamp, my friends. Today, we're going to be reading some very interesting park ranger stories. These stories will definitely keep you out of your local, state, and national parks. If you have a story that you would like to share, whether it's a park ranger story or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. Now, let's get into these creepy and downright strange park ranger stories. I've been a park ranger for many years. For the most part, things have been pretty relaxing. I've never encountered anything supernatural, and the story I'm about to share isn't going to be one of those accounts. No. Instead, I'm going to share a story about one morning that started like any other shift. I was patrolling the parks in one area one summer morning. I live in the state of Washington, by the way. Something caught my eye this morning, though. There was a dark shape in the distance, and it was just far enough away that I couldn't make out what it was. Still, it was close to a trail that is frequented heavily by the public, and so I figured I'd take a look just to be on the safe side. I parked my truck on the side of the trail, locked up, and headed toward the horizon. The area was too dense for me to drive my truck through, and I didn't really want to get stuck there either. So as I got closer to the shape, it began to take a familiar form. As it turned out, there was a black bear roaming the trail. Now, I didn't think much of it, other than I needed to perhaps lure the bear away a bit. After all, I didn't want anyone roaming the trails to come across or aggravate the bear. Anyway, I walked forward thinking, like most animals, it'd notice me and move along before I approached it. But while it did notice me, it seemed to stop and stand its ground. Getting closer, I noticed it seemed to be getting defensive, and so I called in some backup and waited, making sure that no one came by or bothered the animal. As I waited, I observed the bear. It was rather large, even for a bear, and seemed intent on holding the position it had. This wouldn't normally be a problem or a bother at all, but unfortunately, it was too close to the trail and to people. We couldn't have someone wander by and disturb the bears and get mauled. Backup didn't take long to arrive, and we spent the next hour or so trying to get the bear to move. Unfortunately, it wouldn't budge, and any time we got too close, the bear would begin showing its teeth. Fearing for my team's safety and my own, I told them to back off and we'd call in someone who could help. I got an animal control specialist on the line and explained the situation very thoroughly to them. I was informed they'd send someone shortly and they'd bring what was needed to handle the situation. Now, at this point, we also called the sheriff's office in case things got out of hand, or there was no way to safely move the bear along. We wanted to be sure, first and foremost, that the public would be safe in the future. We did respect the fact that the bear was living its life and the land was the bear's home, and we had no intention of shooting the bear. We just wanted someone with a weapon around in the event things got out of hand. I had a few of my team step back and give the bear its space, and it wasn't long before both animal control and the sheriffs arrived. We used the sheriffs to help keep people away, and one waited on standby in case we had to deal with the bear. The animal control officer also brought a rifle. It wasn't to kill though. This one was loaded with tranquilizers, so if need be, we would hopefully be able to put the bear to sleep and move it to a safer area. We watched the bear for a bit longer before we made the plan of action. I decided I'd try to move the bear along once more, and as I did that, I'd have animal control come with me, at the ready, in case they had to utilize the tranquilizers. We also had a sheriff ready in the event it came to something grimmer, but we didn't think that'd be necessary. We prefer something like that to be used only in an absolute emergency. The bear would have to be mauling one of us for us to be ready to use deadly force, and I want to stress again, we aren't in the business of harming animals. I slowly approached the bear once again, and with each step I felt the tension and anticipation mounting. I may have had all the cover in the world, but I was still terrified something might go wrong. I tried to outwardly keep myself composed, and I kept my hands out trying to show it's okay. I wasn't going to hurt the bear. The closer we got to the bear, the more entrenched it became. It gave us what I imagined was a warning roar before baring its teeth and backing closer to a nearby tree. I motioned to the animal control to wait and not to do anything quite yet. I then slowly, very slowly, moved forward. The bear took a step backward, toward the tree, and as it did, I caught a glimpse of something dark. I couldn't tell what it was, and I began to feel curiosity mix in with my initial fear. I looked at the bear more closely, and as I did, I started to get a different feeling from it. I don't know if that's possible, but I definitely felt a different feeling in the air, at least. Taking another step forward, I noticed the bear held its ground and showed his teeth once again. I kept my hands up and attempted to let it know that I wasn't there to harm it. I even asked the animal control officer to lower the tranquilizer gun they were using. As I did, I saw the bear look over at the animal control officer and then at me before taking a step back again, toward this tree. This time I didn't take another step forward, but rather I tried to see what the dark thing behind the bear was. Then it happened. The thing came out and let out the cutest roar I had ever heard. I immediately felt my panic and fear change to relief, and I motioned to everyone to back away slowly. As it turned out, the bear was in the area because she was watching over her cub. When we realized what was going on, we backed off, and sure enough, the cub was done roaming the area. It and the mama bear strode off into the woods and left. As the sheriff and animal control left, I regrouped with my team, and we all had a good laugh. To this day, I'm grateful nothing bad happened in that incident. It could have gone a lot worse and turned out really bad. We all handled the situation correctly, though. I always use this as an example when training new rangers of how to properly assess and manage a situation when you aren't fully sure what said situation is like. We originally thought the bear was taking up refuge or even had set up a home in the area. We took the actions we believed necessary to remove the bear, but also to keep the bear and the general populace at large safe. We of course were wrong about our initial thoughts, as the bear wasn't trying to start a home or anything like that. Because we didn't panic though, we were able to figure out the real reason the bear was there, and thus the bear was able to go back to its home safe and sound, and we were able to go back to work like nothing had ever happened. Long story short, always be prepared, but never panic. That can apply to this situation, but I think it applies to life in general as well. We live in a world so quick to panic over every little thing. Next time you think about doing such, reassess your situation and see if it's really as dire as you initially believed it to be. I'm a 26-year-old male, and I've been with the park rangers for 8 years. I grew up in Texas, and that's where I still work today. Now, for the longest time, I wasn't sure how to categorize or even believe the things I'd witnessed. That said, having listened to this channel and having done research since this incident, I feel much more comfortable about everything that happened. In my first year as a park ranger, much of what I did involved keeping the forest clean and the park safe. A lot of it was grunt work. I'd help out with various projects with my supervisors, but at the time, being a rookie, I wasn't required to do anything really involved, so to speak. That meant much of my work was just interacting with people, doing surveys about how they liked the park, if we kept it clean enough, etc. What we could do to improve said parks, and sometimes just sparking conversation to see what's on people's minds. This was of course in conjunction with keeping the area clean and doing the other grunt work involved. It was May, when I first encountered what I couldn't explain. We had been having a lot of wolves popping up in the area, and while, for the most part, we were able to move them along, there was one which didn't seem like the rest. We began to call this wolf endearingly by the nickname Trouble. Now, Trouble specialized in getting into just that. She was always rooting through trash or chasing onlookers away, but she never seemed to harm anyone. She just caused a lot of headaches. We'd been dealing with her for a while, but this time, things were a bit weirder. I'd just gotten word that a wolf was in the area that matched her description, and so I headed out to deal with her. Apparently, she was chasing hikers off the trail and rooting through the trash. As I arrived at the scene, Trouble stopped what she was doing and looked right at me. The way she looked at me was strange, though. She gave the most innocent look, and was almost a human expression I'd ever seen a wolf give. I was taken back just a bit, but attempted to run her off. As I got closer, she'd back away. When I gave chase, she bolted in the other direction. I informed my supervisor everything was okay, and also let everyone know if they saw that wolf again, let us know immediately. I explained it was generally more of a nuisance than anything, but they shouldn't take any chances and should come get us if they see her. We hadn't been able to catch her as of yet, but I secretly hoped that I'd be the one to do so someday. We had wanted to do so, to move Trouble to a safer area, where we were sure she wouldn't be harmed by anyone, and no one would be harmed by her. She was just so fast, though, and there was no way we could ever get anyone like an animal control there in time, as she had always fled. We had tried a few times. She'd run off long before they'd ever arrive, though. I went about the rest of my day doing my normal duties, and everything was fine. It was when I was clocking out and getting ready to leave that things got strange again. I was getting in my car and about to start it up when I noticed a familiar face staring at me from the woods. It was Trouble. My initial thought was to call someone, and so I pulled out my phone. But the moment I did and got ready to dial before I could finish doing so, she was gone. I just sighed and started my car up before driving home. I remember snickering about how we'd catch her one of these days. Honestly, the whole thing made me feel like I was in one of those old cartoons. You know, the ones where you're always trying to get that sneaky little animal. Anyway, I went home, and soon after my evening routine of showering, eating, and watching some TV, I crashed. In the middle of the night, I was shocked awake by the sound of one of my trash cans falling over. I pulled out my gun and grabbed a flashlight before slipping on my shoes and heading out to investigate. I found my trash can and some trash, which I cleaned up, and also some wolf prints in the dirt. I followed the prints for a bit, but eventually they led to a road, at which point I could no longer track them. I went back home and locked up once I was inside. I was glancing out the window when I saw that face again. Trouble. Now, my first thought was maybe I was mistaken, and I was pretty tired, so I ignored it. Looking back, though, I'm fairly certain it was her. On the next day of work, I was rather tired. I'm someone who needs uninterrupted sleep to function properly, so it was a rough morning. As I went about my morning duties, I came upon Trouble, rummaging through one of the trash containers. Rather than alert her, I stepped back a bit and radioed my supervisors that she was rummaging through the trash again. I was informed to keep a distance, but watch her, and they'd call animal control, and hopefully we'd be able to put a stop to things soon. It didn't take any time for all of them to arrive, from what I could tell. Trouble was mostly eating old food. The plan was to tranquilize her and move her. Nothing too crazy, and at first we thought the plan was going to go off fine. A tranquilizer was fired and hit her. She woozily wobbled off for a second, before shaking her head and darting off into the woods. We gave chase, but we couldn't find her anywhere. So I was tasked with keeping an eye out for her, and also continuing the search. If I found her, I was to radio my supervisors and let them know I'd found her. I agreed and began searching the general area. I was able to find some wolf tracks after a bit of searching. I debated radioing my supervisors, but I wanted to be sure it was her before calling it in. Following the tracks, things started to get weird. The wolf's tracks seemed like they were either messed up or changing in some way. They went from wolf tracks to strange dirt formations to human feet. I wasn't sure what to think in that moment, but I continued following the track quite a ways. It was when I finally found where they led, deep in the woods, there was a woman. She was passed out and was naked. Still in her side, to my shock, was a tranquilizer dart. I'm not sure if she heard me or what happened. She somehow came to. She looked at me, freaked out, and ran off. I tried to give chase, but she bolted over the hill. By the time I reached the top of the hill, there was once again an all-too-familiar face. It was Trouble, looking a bit tired, but okay overall. She darted into the woods, and we never saw her again. I'm a female park ranger in Washington, who has been working for a good 22 years before retiring. Back in 2001, winter to be more specific, I was working cleanup on the trails. Mostly though, I was driving around and making sure things looked fine. I was supposed to be observing the trails as they get rather muddy in the rain, and in Washington, we get plenty of rain. I'm not talking in total, but just in the fact it feels like it's raining all the time. The rain is generally lighter rain, but still, it's there quite a bit. The day was going to be an easy day, if I'm honest. It was supposed to be an easy day, anyway. Rainy days for me at the time mostly involved driving and not much else. I'm of course very happy with this fact. So I'm cruising along listening to the radio when I think I hear loud screaming. It's quick and I turn my radio off and listen intently. Then I hear it again. It sounds fairly distant, and I'm not 100% sure where it's coming from. Slowly, I drive the area, speeding up only when I happen to be going uphill. Mostly as a precaution so that I can make sure that I make it through all the mud. That's when I hear a clear scream for help. I have somewhat narrowed down the source of the sound when I hear it once more. This time I can tell it's coming from higher up, and so I floor it. As I'm driving, it doesn't take long before I can see the problem. Hanging from the side of a large drop-off is a woman who looks to be about 19 or 20. She is screaming, understandably, and hanging off a branch dug into the side of a large hill. The poor woman looks terrified and I contact my supervisors to let them know of the situation. It's raining, muddy, and I'm scared that at any point this woman could lose her grip or the rain could make the root-looking branch she's hanging from come out of the side of the hill and drop her to her death. The drop is long and I am informed to monitor the situation and that they would be there shortly with backup and help. I'm looking at this girl and scared for her, and I'm not sure she has enough to wait. So I drive up the trail and get closer to where this girl is hanging from. I have some rope stashed in my truck and it's fairly lengthy, and so I get to work wrapping it around the largest tree I can find. I then drop it over the side and realize it's not quite long enough. The young woman looks so scared, and that's when I notice the branch she is holding onto slips out and drops somewhat before stopping and swaying. So now this girl is screaming her lungs out for help, crying and repeating she doesn't want to die. I look over the edge and see how steep this drop-off is. I'm terrified of heights. I should have mentioned that much sooner. Still, at that moment, watching this woman scream and realizing what's left of what is coming out of the side of the hill isn't going to stay in the side of the hill much longer, I make a choice to stop waiting. It wasn't safe, nor was it what my supervisors or myself for that matter would have wanted if it could be avoided, but I couldn't wait any longer. Help wasn't going to arrive before this woman likely fell to her death. She looked about my age, and all I could think of was, if this situation was reversed, wouldn't I want someone to at least try to help me? So I grabbed the rope, and as quickly as possible, I scaled down the side of the large drop-off. I didn't have time to be safe about it or properly tie off, so I was terrified. That all said, my adrenaline was flowing, and all I could think was, don't let go, and you'll be fine. I quickly made it to the end of the rope, and hung off as far as I could. I then reached down with one hand and told the girl to grab my hand. It's important to note that I'm no slouch, and I still to this day work out quite often. So, I was confident the woman, who looked much smaller and lighter, wasn't going to take us both down. Once she had my hand, I asked her to use the side of the hill to climb up until she could piggyback on me, if that makes sense. Without hesitation, she did, and as we began climbing back up, we heard something fall. I ignored it and kept pushing forward with the limb. Ultimately, we were able to get back up on the hill, and both of us survived and intact, at which point we both laid down and took a moment to calm ourselves. Once it set in we were alive, we hugged one another tightly and just relished in the moment. The young woman's name was Riley, and I remember how grateful she was and that she was crying, which made me cry in happiness. My supervisors arrived and I explained the situation. They understood the situation, and after speaking with them, I wasn't punished for my actions. My supervisors felt my actions were justified, and this was cemented when we were coming back down the trail and I noticed that the branch that had been hanging had fallen out from the side of the hill. I thank God every day that He put me where I was that day and allowed me to overcome my fears and save Riley. It should be mentioned that we did keep contact and eventually became best friends, and we still are today. I live in Mississippi, and I'm an 82-year-old, long-retired park ranger. I won't waste time, and I'm going to get straight to the point. I believe in intelligent life outside of our own in the large universe that we live in. I've held these beliefs for a long time. The thing that cemented such beliefs, though, were way back when I was a much younger man when I saw something I can't explain under normal circumstances. I witnessed something that took a coyote, if that makes sense anyway. I don't care if you believe me or if you think I'm some kooky old fool. I'm just going to tell you what I saw. I was patrolling the parks when I got a call about a coyote in the area. I had told my superiors that I'd investigate and get rid of the thing. While walking to the area in question, it wasn't very far. Sure enough, there was a coyote. It appeared to have itself a snack, though. What animal, I'm not sure. I tried to scare the thing, but it mostly ignored me in favor of its snack. Annoyed, I prepared to handle the situation myself and proceeded to head to the coyote's direction. I was probably only a few feet away when suddenly I hear a strange whirring sound. I look around and I don't see a damn thing. Still, the sound is obvious and clearly actually happening. The next thing I know, the coyote is up and into the air. I don't see a beam of light or anything, it's just the coyote floating up. Then it vanishes. I don't do drugs and I don't drink or any of that. I was terrified at that moment. I had plenty of sleep and I damn sure wasn't hallucinating. This wasn't the only incident, though. This was merely the first time. A few weeks later, I'm walking the parks and thinking about what I had witnessed while keeping an eye out for a good spot to take lunch. I never told anyone I worked for about the previous incident because, come on, they'd laugh at me in an instant for sure. So I find a nice clearing and decide I'll sit down, pull out my lunch, and eat in peace. It's at this moment I can see something in the distance. It's tall, thin, and seems to have no real body hair. I can't tell from where I'm at exactly what it is, but it's enough to pique my curiosity. So I get up, and as I do, the thing disappears. It didn't go into the air, though. It was like the coyote. It was like 1 second it was there, and then it wasn't. Confused, I keep looking around, but I can't find what I saw. Suddenly, I hear that same whirring sound, and then it fades. Soon after, I hear a sonic boom like a jet, but much louder, and I saw the trees swaying and felt the ground shake for a moment. It was only for a moment, though, like something had suddenly launched at a high rate of speed, but I never saw anything in the sky. A couple of years later, in winter, I'm getting ready to finish my shift. I haven't seen or experienced anything strange since the previous incident, and to be honest, I pretty much let it go as something I'll never truly understand by that point. Anyway, I'm rounding up some trash and doing my final checkups before I clock out, when I hear a familiar whirring. I remember feeling weird and then suddenly looking up as I noticed the hair on my body raising, and then I blacked out. The next thing I know, I'm waking up to my phone ringing. I pick it up and say, "Hello?" On the other end is my very angry boss who wants to know where I went and why I left my truck door open with the keys in the truck and running the previous night. I explained to my boss I wasn't sure why, and I couldn't quite remember. My boss, who normally was a very understanding man, gave me a piece of his mind and several choice words before telling me if it ever happened again, I was going to be fired. I apologized and told him I totally understood. I've never had anything else happen like that since, but I'm not sure how to explain any of this without sounding completely crazy, but I assure you I experienced what I experienced. To this day, I'm at a complete loss as to what actually happened and how I lost the time I lost. I'm also completely confused as to how I wound up sleeping in my bed or even got home. I was able to keep my job ultimately, and I enjoyed a wonderful career the remainder of my time as a park ranger before retiring. Outside of those odd incidents, I can honestly say it's the best job I ever had, and I'm grateful it was my career ultimately. As to those incidents, I am strongly of the belief that I may have been abducted. I don't have a less sane-sounding theory or any memory of what happened to me that time I blacked out, but it's the only explanation I could give. At any rate, there are certain things we can't explain going on in the world, and I'd say these things qualify as some of them. Hi there. My name is Jay and I've been with the Park Rangers for 15 years. I work in Montana and I want to share a short story about how lucky I am to still be here today. Now my story isn't long or grandly glorious, but it involves an 80-year-old man named Walt. Walt is a regular goer of the parks I watch over, and I and many of our regular park goers are quite familiar with him. I've changed his name for the purposes of keeping his identity safe, but he's a friendly guy. Many a shift he would tell me tales about local legends or even just of his wife Margie. You never know what he'd talk about, but you could be sure that it would be a great conversation and leaving you feeling happier no matter what kind of day you were having at the time. So one day I found myself sitting at a bench during lunch. The day was nice, cool, and quite relaxing. Up to this point, I'd occasionally head off a little way out of the way for lunch. This was such a beautiful day, I thought, why the hell not? So I headed down the trail and eventually branched off down the beaten path to a little known area on a hill. It was here I sat down, pulled out a sandwich, and chilled. The sun was beautiful, and I couldn't have been happier. Suddenly, I felt what I thought was gas. I breathed through it at first. The more I struggled to do so, the harder it became to breathe. It was only seconds before I found myself keeled over, desperately gasping for air. It was only seconds, but it felt like hours. In my confusion, I remember thinking, well, at least I'll die in a beautiful place. That was it. That was my last thought before I felt myself passing out. The next moments were a bit of a blur. I heard a voice and it was familiar. It was from Walt. I remember thinking I was dead and not really being sure what was happening. Was I really hearing Walt? I couldn't be too sure. Then suddenly I feel myself breathing slightly better and things begin to come into focus. It's hard to explain the event as I was super out of it and still certain I was dead. I remember being dragged and some calling out. "Over here," a very familiar voice said. "I think he might make it, but he's looking rough." Suddenly, in what appeared to be a blink of an eye, I imagine it was me passing out and waking up. It was all very fever dreamish. I am awakened in a hospital. I have my girlfriend, some nurses, my parents, and well, Walt standing over me. I remember confusion, but also a sudden calm coming over me. I asked if I was dead, but my girlfriend smacked me and quickly realized I wasn't. My parents were crying as she had. Walt, on the other hand, just wore a big old smile. "You can't go dying on a son, you're much too young." The way Walt said that cracked me up, and soon after I asked what happened. Walt explained, and as I came to find out, I had a heart attack. A pretty large one. It wasn't common for someone my age, but it happened sometimes. Thankfully, by sheer luck, Walt had been hiking, and often stopped in that same spot I was eating lunch at the time, to admire the view. When he found me, he called 911, and he also drugged me closer so they could reach me and get me to the ambulance faster. Walt had saved my life. The nurses and doctors even informed me that had he not found me, there was a 90% chance I would not have survived. So yeah, I'm eternally indebted to Walt. Well, my whole family is actually. I eventually married my wife, and we had a little boy. I can't help but be grateful to be alive today, and every time I see Walt, I take all the time I possibly can just to spare to listen to him and his many stories. What happened to me can happen to anyone, regardless of your age. I was blessed that as rare as this was, I survived. I've since gotten into working out within my bounds and just eating healthier. I'm not saying this to tell you to do the same. I'm sharing this story to let you know you should appreciate every moment you have on this earth. Life is short, and we never know when it could be our time. It would have been mine if it had not been for Walt. I can promise you, I'm very grateful for every second I still live today. Thanks for listening to these creepy and downright strange park ranger stories. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day on all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story that you'd like to share in a future video, whether it's a park ranger story or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. If you're not aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about every other major podcast platform out there. I want to say thank you, as always, for supporting the swamp. Without you, we wouldn't be where we are today. Much love and appreciation for helping me hit 160,000 subscribers. We're very close to that, and I can't wait to do that. If you made it all the way to the end, today's code word is Purple Ranger. Comment that down below to let me know that you made it all the way to the end, and to confuse anybody else who didn't. I really love seeing how creative you guys get with your little code word responses. It's always hilarious, and some are downright just knee slappers. Before we go, I just want to say thank you one more time and let you know that I do have a brand new merch item for sale. If you look down under this video, you'll see the King of the Swamp shirt. Definitely check that out if you want to support the channel. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.